Welcome to the Awaken Voices podcast, your podcast to dive deeper into topics around spirituality, coaching, and leadership, and where we share brave stories of our multicultural community of inspiring coaches and leaders. Welcome to this week's episode of the Awaken Voices podcast. It's a really beautiful conversation that I'm sharing with you today as two MCC coaches, so very highly experienced women in coaching, sit together and explore what it means to coach at a masterful level. And what's really beautiful to witness is the shift that happens when we explore the moments that surprise us as coaches, and saying that also the leaning into the discomfort, the silence, allowing for a lot of spaciousness and bravery for not always having the right answers. And through this trusting in the unknown, allowing for profound shifts to happen. When we really stop trying to fix someone and instead just be with them in the stance of partnership, of also seeing coaching as a mirror for our own growth. So this is not just a technical conversation about competencies. It's actually quite the opposite. It's a very rich, very heartfelt deep dive in what it means to connect, to trust, and to hold space for transformation. So I hope that, as always, you can take what's useful for you, take the nuggets that serve you most at this point of your journey. And we have actually an event coming up with Lisa, Ignite Your Coaching at the MCC level. So if you're curious, you can check out our website at theawakencoachinstitute.com. And we're very much looking forward to receive you in our community. With this, I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Lisa, I'm so excited to be with you.
I am too. Oh, it's such a pleasure to be in your energy, Christy. Thank you for having me.
Lisa, you just mean a lot to me because you were my coach. And there's something so deep and spiritual and sacred and wonderful about a coaching relationship. And we didn't know each other before then. I think both of us signed up with, you know, the ICF's reciprocoach thing and got put into triads and stuff. And I had the real gift and blessing of being coached by you, which is such a great reminder of how vulnerable the client space is and how amazing it is to be really held and loved and seen by an MCC coach. So I'd just love to hear a little of your story. What was it like for you journeying to your MCC, which we'll tell everybody what it means. Master Certified Coach is the highest level of credentialing within the International Coaching Federation. What's it like to have gotten to MCC?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, it's hard not to cry when, when you're talking about what a privilege it was to coach with me, because I felt the same way. I felt like it was such a gift to be with you. I felt humbled. I felt honored. I felt like I was walking a journey with you. And that it was like a sacred land that not everyone gets to see, because you are such a precious gift to so many. See, there
you go. Now I'm crying. I'm like, no, I told you all the things that make me look like an idiot, and you're still saying that. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. Well, Christy, you are an incredible model of what it looks like to truly embody MCC, in my opinion, which is this idea that there is no there. And it's something that I had to humbly break down and undo in my own journey, because when I started out 12 years ago deciding I wanted to be a coach, I wanted to be the best. And of course, as you hear me say that, you could probably hear all the stories underneath that, what that means, probably a guess of my childhood and the survival mechanisms and automatics that came with that, a lot of overachieving, performance, perfection, good girl, wanting to be the best in order to be and feel safe around the protection of my intellect, the protection of being the best, whatever that means. And what I like to share with my MCC mentoring group frequently and fondly is that what has gotten you here will not get you there. What has gotten you to PCC and beyond PCC will not get you to MCC. And in fact, even for those who are starting out on their coaching journey, there's so much undoing of the performance, the perfection, the needing to produce in order to be valued and worthy in our society that you have to break down and undo and get out of the way. Because the meat and potatoes, the juice of MCC is that there is no ego, or that there is as little ego as possible in the space, so as to be able to invite the client's wholeness and trust of self without the leading agenda knowing. And boy, does that take so much undoing. So I think the biggest part that I had to learn in my journey was getting rid of that, or benching her, or putting her to the side, because she's worked so hard for me my entire life. She's performed performance so well. And now it's time to create trust in the unknown, and in the vulnerability. And to circle back to you, it felt like such a gift for me as coach to witness your being that way as client. And it was just, it was such a, for me, like a reciprocal gift. It just like built on each other. Like it allowed me to be there for you. And then that gift gave to me, and boy. But there's so many pieces of my MCC journey that I could talk about. What do you think?
I think we could just stop right there. I mean, what you said about just undoing, unlearning the ego performance and entering into the space of not knowing and seeing the other as so just, it's such an honor to be with the other and trusting in their wholeness. That's it right there in a nutshell. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's really what I experienced with you. Like, it's just so pure and simple. I never got the impression that you were trying to use any like techniques or skills or gimmicks. Like, you absolutely were using high level skills, but so naturally and just in such a connected human way. An MCC conversation just sounds like two people who really love and honor and value each other in a conversation for the service of one of the parties. And it just sounds like a conversation.
Yes. Yes. It is the simplest form of deep human connection and stand and love for each other that I know of on the planet. And you said something so wonderful in the talk that you gave to my community on trust and safety. About being lovingly disinterested in the client's story, but being lovingly fascinated about the human being behind the story. I thought that was like, in a nutshell, that is trust and safety from the deepest, highest level of coaching.
Yeah, it's this regard for the person, without getting attached to even their outcomes or having a good session or having them walk away with anything or adding any value. Like, all that stuff just disappears in that that sacred space of, this is a real person with such a full landscape inside of them that they can explore. And it's just so much curiosity and discovery and adventure to see what's inside of them without trying to, you know, get somewhere and go somewhere, which I think back to your point about unlearning things, I think at the earliest levels of our training, for a lot of us, it was all about what's your goal? How are you going to get to your goal? What are your obstacles between you and the goal? And that's still there to an extent, but it's such a secondary part of the being with someone. And there just is so much beauty in silence and seeing and observing and listening that doesn't require a whole lot of doing and talking and problem solving. But what was, how did you do that unlearning and relearning?
That's funny. I was just about to ask you a question. Huh. I will answer first. So interestingly enough, it wasn't something that I learned in my MCC program, which, you know, we spoke about before we got on here. Mm. It was something I had to face and address as a byproduct of going for my MCC. For me, tactically, the thing in the way was, funny enough, core competency. Well, it was different back then, but core competency number 4, trust and safety, and core competency number 5, coaching presence, because I had a lot of knowing and leading in my coach way of being as a PCC. And so when it came to recording calls and practicing the MCC way of being, I was like smacked in the face with my own ego of, what do you mean I'm not already coaching at the MCC level? I know so much. I know what the client's thinking. I know where we're going. I see everything. And all of that was filtering through my head because that's what I had thought made a good coach, right? So in recording my sessions, I might have told you this story. The first recorded call, Christy, oh my gosh, poor Carly Anderson. She was so wonderful. Actually, I had enormous breakthroughs in my experience of giving and receiving compassionate feedback in ways I'd never had. So I recorded a call. It wasn't even that bad. It was like in the 7s at the time. So I was like right under
7 out of 10. Yeah. You're doing pretty, and which is very high level PCC coaching on the scale they were using at the time. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So it was right under MCC, and I got, you know, that score, and I cried for days. My body went into like a traumatic baggage shock.
I believe it.
It's hilarious in hindsight, but at the time I was devastated. I laugh now because it feels like the type of levity I have when my toddler is devastated because he can't have, you know, a third helping of crackers for his snack.
Right.
Devastated. My life is over. So that's kind of what it felt like. My nervous system had a toddler meltdown. And, you know, I show up for my call with Carly thinking I had like got it out of my system. And we started talking a little bit about it. And then I had another melt. I just started crying. And I couldn't even like talk through my tears. I was so upset because of my fear of not being enough when it came to coaching. That one little sliver of a score had me facing all of the, you know, all of the not enoughness and the not worthy and the, I don't know enough. I might be stupid. I might look bad. I might be abandoned. All of those, you know, old stories. And I had been working on myself for years at that point. And I had to take it to my coach, to my therapist. At the time, I was doing some deep EMDR and IFS, internal family systems work, with my amazing therapist. And I mean, that started a 2-year journey of undoing many levels of my own ego and my own little girl who had been still been at the table wanting a helping.
Mm. Well, you're just speaking to like the heart of the thing is that we have to go and explore our own inner landscapes and understand and get those internal family systems and those parts all moving together on the same bus, because it's that ability to connect with the true self and be our true selves, which does not have a lot of these coping stances needed by some of the parts, the expert part or the distracting part or the know-it-all or the ashamed or any of those parts. Like, they're all wanting to be guided by the true self. And it's really hard to be with a client at that depth unless we do the inner work and do the crying and do the like, oh, my 3-year-old is driving the bus right now, right?
Yes. Yes. And for me, it was all a breakthrough in trust. It was self-trust, trusting others, and trusting the universe. Trusting spirit, trusting the process, trusting the coaching, even the coaching system, the coaching industry. But it was absolutely a breakthrough in trust. And I think that it's a never-ending breakthrough. There's always more work to do around trust. And I firmly believe that the more work we as coaches do on our own selves and that version of humble, heartbreaking and opening trust, the more we can then be with whatever shows up with our clients, because we can trust that we can be in the heartbreak with them and we can support that and it is okay.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it was Mr. Rogers or someone who said, everything mentionable is manageable. And it's getting ourselves to be able to mention things. And you're talking about heartbreak. And I think being with someone in grief, for example, or being with someone in their really big emotions and just being like, this is survivable for sure. And in fact, an emotion is going to go through the body in 90 seconds and it's okay to sob it out. And it doesn't mean that it's therapy to allow big emotions into conversations. I think that's something that a lot of professional coaches are unlearning and relearning, that there's this sort of new coach philosophy that like you have to have this real hard and fast, like this is therapy, this is coaching. And as soon as somebody cries or has an emotion or gets angry or has regret or disgust or whatever it is, send them to the therapist. And in actuality, it's really more about like, can you find and feel and see the self underneath the emotions and let the, you know, this person is the sky. Everything else is just the weather, and not be afraid of it. And I do think it takes a lot of that going in and not being afraid of ourselves to be able to have that solid space holding way to be with someone else.
Yes, yes, queen. And you model this so well. So for you, what was that journey like in the learning and unlearning to not be afraid of self? And then how does that connect to MCC that you see?
Hmm. Well, I just remember one of my greatest teachers is Leon Vanderpool, who has a course that he calls the Deep Coaching Intensive. And so I took it with him. He actually traveled to Kenya and stayed at my house for a week. And I took his course with about 20 other people in Kenya. And afterwards, so one of my clients was in that course with me. And afterwards, she said, oh, you've been doing transactional coaching, haven't you? Because he was making the difference between transactional coaching and transformational coaching. And I was like, yep, I have been. It was very much like, what's your goal? What are the obstacles? How are you going to get there? What's your next step? It was very behavioral, action-oriented. And this kind of coaching was much more about presence and being and depth. And interestingly enough, I think I had kind of this unspoken thought that if you were just like so spiritual and deep and everything with people, you would probably end up homeless on a park bench or something because it's so disconnected from the real world and making money and all that kind of stuff. And it's funny to me to look back at that because I just see it so differently now. You know, the more you do like high level executive coaching with people who are making whatever gazillions of bucks that they make is 100% compatible with being in touch with your spiritual nature. And I think for me, running a business has been a big part of it. Because when you put up a website and you're not selling like, whatever, Craftsman tools or something, but you are selling an experience with yourself. There's not a lot that's more vulnerable than that to actually put out there for any Joe Schmo off the street to come see, oh, this is who Christy thinks she is. And this is what she has to offer from just being together. And so that takes a lot of digging deep, and it takes being willing to be misunderstood, to not be liked. Building a business for me was like a 12-step program. It's like an exercise in sobriety, you know, just like moment by moment being like, oh, this is scary. Okay, on we go. Get some help, get some support, talk this out, be with yourself, do the next thing. And integrating all the things, you know, money, fears and worries, who do I think I am, fears and worries, all of that stuff has to be dealt with to go out there and say, I'm the CEO of Awaken Coach Institute, and I'm going to train people to be able to really sit with themselves and another person in a way that is life-changing. I would say Brené Brown's work was also really transformational. I did that in 2015 and 2016, just before I moved from Kenya. And so moving from Kenya to France in the same year that my dad died and having no friends, I mean, it was such, I can't even describe the loneliness of that year. And knowing that I could get up off the floor and survive and thrive in such a really, really difficult time because I knew the skills. I knew how to offer myself compassion. I knew how to reach out for empathy. I knew how to be vulnerable and open about how hard it was. Those are some of the skills that I learned from Brené Brown's teaching that absolutely showed up for me. And then when it came time to build my business, like, okay, nothing in my life can be as hard as that year was. And so I'm gonna make it through this too. And I know how to allow joy in my life. I know how to allow love in my life because I know how to integrate the hard, dark stuff.
Thank you for bringing all of that. Thank you for doing that work. This is not a place that many people decide to dig into and go through in order to stand up a business like you have. I think it is the road.
And I don't know that we even choose it necessarily. I mean, I think at some point before we end our time on the planet, every one of us will go through loss, disability, limitations of all kinds. And it will be taught to us by the school of life. And so to me, MCC level coaching is about being in love with reality. Just this is owning the whole story and choosing how do I want to be? How do I connect with the bigger picture of what's happening in the world? What do I want to create?
Well, I think you also bring up a point that I'm very interested in dissecting, pulling apart, and offering to the coaching community, which is there's the credential. There's getting your credential and passing the two recordings, which you actually can do without going through this deep inner heroine's journey. You can check the boxes and, you know, send off your two recorded calls and hopefully it passes. If it doesn't, you get another try. I think that ongoing holding containers, like what you're talking about, going through the life's gym and the spiritual learning of grief, of human beingness, that's something that is a sustainable, masterful quality that you get to bring as a coach. And in turn, it is a huge gift to you to be able to have that ease, that depth of connection, that love of the work, that simple, deep, transformational value everywhere you go. But not everyone gets there because they have to do that work first that you're talking about. And I have to say, not everyone chooses the path of wisdom when they are confronted with that loss and that grief. They can choose to shut down, to protect, to not go inward, because it is very painful and vulnerable. But I think those that do have huger impacts, better lives, better legacies, bigger legacies, and more fuller experiences, like what you're talking mm-hmm. about.
I remember the day that I got my MCC. It was so terrible. You know, I'd sent in my two recordings, and I think I would have spent more time kind of like going through the competencies, making sure I was at least like, you know, you have to be at an 8, 9, or 10 on their scale to get, you know, on the different competencies to pass the exam with these recordings. And I had done so many recordings, and at some point I was just like, okay, screw it. I'm going to send these in. They either pass or they don't. And then it took, I don't know, it was like 6 or 7 months for them to reply. And I was like, oh, why did I send such stupid recordings? I should have really sat down and assessed them myself and seen if they were really good or not. And then one day I was just like sitting there doing emails or something, and I get this, you know, email from the ICF. And it was just like, boring form email. Here's your MCC. Here's the little logo that you can put on LinkedIn. Here's the rules about how you can use our colors on your website. And like, it was just this utterly transactional. Email with nothing. And then I cried for days after I became an MCC, because I was like, this is the worst. Like, I'm here for the lifelong learning. I'm here for the community. I'm here for the connection between, you know, people who are out there wanting to really contribute love and courage and goodness to the world. And what do I care about sticking up a logo on LinkedIn?
Getting the brand colors correct.
Is this all there is? And it really, I almost didn't even want to coach anymore. I'm like, that's it. That's it. This is the highest level you can get to. And it, like, where is anybody who cares? And so it was really quite a down time. But then I did pick myself up and remind myself that, okay, I still do want to really serve the world, and I still really do want to be in community, and I still want lifelong learning. And then I started meeting people like you who absolutely challenged me to learn and grow. And we got to do it ourselves and not wait for, you know, some organization headquartered in Kentucky to do it for us, but really to reach out and say, guess what? Evelyn wants to start a podcast for me, and I get to talk with Lisa on the podcast. So let's
Is that how this learning. Podcast happened?
Oh, yes.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yep. So I think, I mean, it's just, we have endless opportunities to learn and grow with our clients, and also amongst MCC folks. And I just love the the ego-free way of living that you have. Like, you just invite me to your community. You're so willing to contribute to the Awaken Coaches community. And it isn't about, you know, what am I going to get out of this? It's there's so much joy in getting to be real with people.
And that's really why I do this. I didn't become a coach to make the most money on the planet, because no coach, by the way, decides to become a coach to make money. We do it because there's a calling. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about reminds me of the saying that we're the heroes we've been waiting for. Like, no one's coming to rescue us. We get to rescue us. We get to be our own heroes. And it's such a truth of the learning journey. Especially at the
end. And it was so opposite of everything I was raised with. I was raised that you think of others first, you sacrifice, you do the opposite of what you want to do because you should be kind of martyring yourself for people. It was just a very kind of codependent way of seeing the world. And then I had an embodiment coach, my friend Jackie in the UK, who's done a video with me for our course. And she has this really cheeky, or at least she used to, this cheeky photograph of herself wearing a t-shirt that says, "I'm the boss of me." And she's like going like this. And she's all smiling and like, "Yeah, I'm the boss of me." And I'm like, "Ah, that's so brave. Like, how can you, you're the boss of yourself? Like, isn't somebody else supposed to be the boss?" And just seeing some of those messages from fellow coaches is so empowering to me to say, oh, actually, yes, it is not selfish or wrong. It is absolutely healthy and good to know that you're the boss of yourself and you make your own decisions. But I needed to learn that for me before I could. It's not that we teach our clients anything. We just are with our clients. And the quality of our own beliefs about them and about ourselves and about the process makes a huge difference to their outcomes.
Yes. Yes.
And people say things like, "Oh, you trust me so much. How can you trust me so much?" And it's like, because I do, period.
Because that's the point. That's the whole point. Us trusting them to give them the opportunity to trust themselves, just like we were given that opportunity to trust ourselves. And it's such a, man, MCC world is so weird to me, because it's like, my belief is that MCCs go there because they want that intimacy and deep connection and trust and community, that connection, the belonging. Like, we love people, and yet it's such a small pool to play in. You get there and there's like, you know, one other person at the pool, and you're like,
"Where'd everybody go?"
Yeah, where'd they go? There's like, how many coaches who call themselves coaches on the planet, and there's only 2,500, 2,400 MCCs. It's such a small pool. And so on one hand, you're like, well, let's create community in MCC land. Very much so. I think there needs to be. And then there's this other piece that's like, well, why do we have to wait to get there to create community? Oh, we're the heroes we've been looking for. And there's, I think, a sense of a combination of ownership. Ownership of your power. There's trust. And there's also a deep humility that there is no there. Like, Oh, it's like full kimono surrendering to the universe. Oh my God, there is no there. I am that person. I've been waiting for someone else. It's actually me.
Mm-hmm.
So to be the one to create Awaken like you did, to be the one to create my coaching community, to me was such an act of like, oh, like, I can't wait anymore. It's not about getting there and then feeling ready or feeling like I have the knowledge. Like, I'm finally as worthy as I am and, you know, as others are. It's like, no, right now, I get to do that.
And I love what you've created with your Ignite Mastery program. And thank you for inviting me to come be with you. Please, because that is your message, is you're telling people who are at early stages in their coaching journey that you can learn an MCC way of being with people, a masterful way of being people with people from the very beginning. You don't have to wait until you're in the 4% of credentialed coaches who bother to keep counting their hours for so long. But you can actually have the depth of connection with people that you want much earlier in the journey.
Yeah, very much so. And I know you have the same philosophy teaching MCC ways of being and skills at the ACC level, which I think, like, it's funny. I was taught that in my program. Like, it was very MCC in many ways. Within your first 100 hours. And then I just automatically assumed all other coach training programs had that. Boy, was I surprised when I graduated. Really interesting. I just assumed. But yeah, not only that, the journey from PCC to MCC is also, I mean, it's huge. You have 500 hours to get your PCC, but then 2,000 more hours to get your MCC, and there's no landmark there, at least industry speaking. And I love the idea that with what you've done with Awaken and what I get to give to people who are at their PCC or before their PCC, there's only a couple people in my group who have the hours for MCC, but I'm like, that's not the point. MCC is not the point. The point is you get to give your gifts to the world in a more fulfilling, satisfying, deeper, richer way. And all of those things I mentioned are also, you know, attributes of MCC: depth, presence, curiosity, endless learning, growth and development, creating trust and safety. You do that with yourself. You're doing that with your clients.
Well, and what I noticed about you in your MCC coaching of me was all of those things that you just said. And you always offered me the choice. I never felt like you were leading the conversation in any particular direction. And you were willing to speak what you noticed and observed and saw without any attachment, just like, this is another perspective that could be part of it, but what do you think? And it was always so deeply respectful. And I knew that it was, I'm the boss of me, and I'm the one who's leading the session as the client. I get to choose what's most important, where we're going to go next. And it was just over and over and over in our conversations that you just had this very sitting back in your chair and really so connected and loving to me. And what's most important here? What's the real thing you want to talk about? And where do you want to go next? And just constantly, in very simple language, not jargony, coachy language, but just offering me choices.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Surrendering choice to the client. to get intellectual briefly, I'm curious what your experience is. When I learned that very simple leaning back, less is more, choice and agency, not only did I feel much better about the coaching sessions, because I didn't feel like there was so much pressure on me to get it right, but it was also so much more sustainable energetically. I wasn't pulling so much. I wasn't pushing. I didn't have to have that pressure. There was so much partnership. In fact, I now feel like I can coach more, deeper, longer because of that skill set. So it made my business more sustainable.
Absolutely. It's like joy and relaxation. MCC level coaching presence just feels like, I don't know, like, could you really call this working? It feels so relaxing.
Ease and flow.
And so happy, you know? And I do think PCC does level coaching, skill, maybe we could call it skill-based coaching or, you know, proficient you're doing the right actions and behaviors and getting it right kind of coaching. There could be more self-judgment. There could be a little more ego. There could be a little more just that, constriction in the muscles, even when you're in a session, mm-hmm. instead of just like that pure love and honor and joy of being with another person and all the ups and downs and just trusting them, trusting the universe, trusting the process. It really is a big difference in energy. Getting through to the end of a day of really deep coaching, you're just like, ching.
Yeah. I feel like I had a great day with my friends.
Yes.
I'm like, ooh, like let's go to yoga. Let's go to the spa. This mm-hmm. feels great. Let's go out. Mm-hmm. Instead yes. of the process-based coaching of that is the highlight, I think, of PCC.
Yeah. I love being with you so much, Lisa, as I'm sure you can hear every time we talk. And I'm really looking forward to more conversations with you. As we wrap up for today, you know, the conversation around MCC level coaching, what it feels like, what it looks like. We've talked a bit about spirituality. And I'd love to hear, in relation to MCC coaching, what is spirituality? What does that represent to you?
I have so much around this. There's the personal approach, and then there's the professional approach, which is they intersect tremendously. Personally, I think that spirituality is in everything. I am a firm believer that even if you don't believe in a particular religion, God, aspect of the universe, there is so much that we don't know. And there's so much we don't know that we don't know. That there has to be a reverence, an awe, a surrender to the unknown in order for us to fully be able to, I think, experience life. Personally, that's my belief. And I'm still figuring out what that looks like specifically, but I'm a firm believer that spirituality exists in everything. It's a trust. It's a surrender. We actually have very little control over our lives. We think there is, but control is an illusion. Even this idea that, you know, I'm gonna manage my time so that I get my kid to daycare every single day at 8 a.m. And if I can't, here are all the ways that I'm gonna fix that. Like, all of that is an illusion. Like, we have no control at the end of the day. So there's that. Professionally, especially at the level that you and I talk about coaching at, there is such a surrender. There's a surrender. There's a full trust in the universe, a full trust in others, a full trust in ourselves, a full trust in the coaching process and really life process. The life's gym. I think, did you call it the life's gym? Or the life's...
I don't know. It's a great word. Maybe.
Yeah. You mentioned something like that earlier. But truly there is so much letting go of our knowing in the coaching process that there has to be a spirituality, a deep faith and reverence and respect in ourselves and others and in the coaching profession that needs to happen. And I don't think you can separate the human from the coach at a masterful level. There has to be a both and of organically you, artfully you, and artfully, masterfully coaching that gets to be an offering and an invitation for others.
I love it. I mean, trust and surrender were your two key words, and they're also what really exemplifies the way that you coach. Mm. And it just proves once again that spirituality is the same as practicality. What you believe at that deep, purposeful level and what you experience as your values of trust and surrender is what you will live out and what will also change the world. It's an inner journey, but it's also an outer journey because what you experience here by nature has an effect outside of you too. And so what you believe about trust and surrender is what shows up in your masterful coaching. And I just love that about you.
Same thing goes for you, Christy. Truly, you walk the walk, talk the talk, be the be. It's such a model for me. Truly. I love being in your presence and your energy, because it is very relaxing. And it's also deeply evocative in my own learning and awareness. So thank you.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you, because you've seen me as the client. So thank you. Thank you.
What a gift.